Welcome to episode 68 of Meenal's World. I can't believe we're almost at 70 episodes already. And this week, for the second time, I have another guest back on the show. My first guest who I had back again was Just Breep. And this week, I have Lauren Curry. Now, she's the founder of Upfront. And I met Lauren almost 2 years ago after our good friend Jolie from Pregnant and Screwed had introduced us. And since then, I've been fascinated by Lauren's mission to increase confidence in women, especially since she's worked so hard to create a course which has been molded to impact women from different communities and different backgrounds. I love the work that Lauren's put in to learn and to unlearn everything that she knows about creating confidence in women. She's constantly learning about the issues that women from different social backgrounds face, so ultimately, she can help them find the power within their voice and give them the confidence they need to change their life. You can listen to our first episode from last year. This was episode 45, I believe. And on that episode, we spoke a little bit more about how Upfront was founded and why Lauren felt that she had to step up and help women around the world. And in this episode, I speak to Lauren about what it's been like to fully focus all her time on Upfront and leave all of her other side hustles. And now this is all she does now. Lauren just works on Upfront. I really hope you enjoy this episode because it made Lauren cry and it gave me goosebumps as well. Remember, if you're on iTunes, please do leave a review. It really helps this podcast reach out to more people. And if you're on any other app which allows you to leave a review, please do that as well. And please share this with your friends and family. I'm sure many, many people can benefit from these conversations. So without further ado, here's Lauren Curry. Welcome to the show, Lauren, again.
Yay, thanks
it's
for
lovely.
Having me.
Yeah, it's lovely to have you back because I know like the last year has been, well, quite different now for you to where you were a year ago.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
So last time we spoke, Lauren, I don't know if you had fully transitioned straight into Upfront or if you were still working on your other projects on the side. But now for those who are listening, Lauren's been working on quite a few different projects over the last couple of years, but now you're fully committed to just working on Upfront. And how do you feel now, a year on after making that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I feel so many feelings, so many thoughts. It's the first time since 2016 that I've only been working on one thing. So I've always had multiple businesses running at the same time, kind of with different levels of priority. And since 2016, Upfront was always my kind of baby on the side that really deep down I wanted to be working on that full time all the time for lots of different reasons that I'm happy to go, you know, we can talk about. I didn't make that jump until April 2021, and it was a really difficult decision, which is so strange for me to say now, because now I look back, it's the easiest decision and the best decision ever. But at the time, you know, there was a lot of sleepless nights and phone calls and writing lists and, you know, looking up at the sky trying to find some insight into, you know, what's the right thing to do. And now a year later, you know, I've got a team that's growing. Our impact is multiplying every day. You know, all the numbers are going in the right way. Our business model is really working and thriving. And, you know, there's hard days and there's moments where I want to tear my hair out, as anybody who runs a business will empathize with. But in the main, I just really feel like I'm doing the right thing at the right time. And it feels very easy and joyful a lot of the time, which is just really, really lovely.
What was it like at that time, Lauren, when you were trying to justify going straight into Upfront and you were making those pros and cons lists and you were trying to contemplate the decision that you were making? Because obviously this is not just about business. You're a mother as well. You got a family. And I'm sure that's what you were thinking about as well. What kind of impact is this going to have on my family? So actually, can you talk me through to the through the kind of things that you were thinking about at that time?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, often the kind of traditional narrative we hear around businesses being started is, you know, you quit the full-time job, you quit the employment to jump into a business. Whereas for me, I've been employed twice in my career. So for the majority of my working life, I've been an entrepreneur, I've been running my own business, but I've always run businesses as a co-founder together with another person. And Upfront is the first business that I have founded on my own. I don't have a co-founder, nor is there any intention for me to find one anytime soon. So that was a big part of the decision, which I think was a lot to do with my trusting myself and, ironically, my confidence, given that my whole business is all about confidence. And I actually had a really brilliant talk with the Global Bond, my community in Upfront, about, you know, the kind of 10 key things that were playing a role in me making that decision. And, you know, one of them was definitely fear. I think because Upfront is something that I care so, so deeply about. I think about it all the time. I work on it all the time. It's the thing that I think about when I get a moment. It's quiet. I'm thinking about it in the shower. You know, it is very much, it's a part of me. And it felt like such a big risk to put that in a position where it might all go wrong. You know, because keeping it on the side is safe and comfortable because it's just kind of slowly dawdling along. Whereas me saying, right, we're doing this, we're going to build a global company, you know, multi-million pound revenue, incredible social impact, I am the sole founder, you know, that felt, I'm hugely excited by that. But at that time, it felt scary. And I think I was also, you know, my ego was getting in the way of, I know that people can look up front and they see a course. Now, you and I know that it's so much more than a course and we're developing things all the time, new product ideas, and I'm sure eventually there will be a digital product there. And I was, you know, my ego was getting in the way of like, oh, but you're so much more than that. You're so much bigger than that. You can't just run a course. Like, courses are small fry. Which is a bullshit narrative that I've absorbed from somewhere. You know, and it was also at the same time we'd emigrated to Sweden. I'm the sole earner, so, you know, my partner doesn't have a salary job or his own business where there's revenue to income to fall back on if my business doesn't perform. So I think really in a nutshell, most of it was about mindset, if I'm really honest. And I feel I'm in such a different place now, even just 12 months later, with my mindset around abundance and growth and potential and trusting myself, trusting my community, and also just really trusting my product. Like, I've been building it very iteratively for 6 years and I know that it works. You know, I'm kind of at the stage now where it's like, I'm not going to stand here and try and convince you to join. If you don't join, you're missing out, because it works. It does what we say it does. And we've got mountains and mountains of qualitative and quantitative data to show that. And that feels, you know, that feels new. That feels like a very new stance of conviction, which is awesome.
I know that when you start a project, or in your case, a business, there has to be, I mean, at first it starts off with you being interested in something, right? Like, I'm interested in helping women become more confident, right? Now, to grow that business, to grow it into what you've made it, there has to be some sort of obsession, right? To grow this and to fully dedicate your time. Do you think you found that balance? Because obsession can be quite unhealthy at times. How have you navigated your love for what you do and to keep that passion, but then also remind yourself to take a step back from time to time?
Good question. I think you're right. I think obsession can be unhealthy, but I really believe that there's always a trade-off. I don't think balance is a thing that exists. You know, for me, there are trade-offs around that obsession. It's like, you know, my social life is not great. I wish it was more. I don't have hobbies. You know, my work is also brings me joy and also is the place where I do switch off sometimes. You know, I can switch to a place of being really present in my community and being in those conversations and learning alongside the women that are in the bond. So I think, you know, the idea of balance is a myth. I think it's about being really sensitive and aware of what are the trade-offs that you're making, what are the sacrifices that you're making. And I've made really intentional decisions about time off. So, for example, I took January off this year. I'm going to take August off this year. And that is very, like, no social media, no emails. Like, I'm not working at all for 4 weeks. And even 1-2 years ago, if you told me I'd be doing that, I'd have laughed at you, you know, because I am a workaholic. I am obsessed with my mission. I care a huge amount about what we're doing, what we stand for, the people we're serving. Now I have a team of people who I feel responsible for, and I want to look after and do the right thing by them. I want to be the best leader I can. You know, as the company is growing, the things that take your attention and energy start to shift, and for me become more difficult and complicated. You know, the more human beings you add into any equation, the more complicated it becomes. So in one hand, I feel really good about, I have my time off, I don't work weekends, I live beside a forest, I run every day. You know, we have a lot of time in nature. That's very different from the kind of sweating over a desk, commuting around London, and not, you know, I think it's about what your work gives you. Does it fill up your cup or does it drain your cup? And at the end of the day, my cup is always filled by the stories of the impact we're having in the world.
But surely, Lauren, there are days where it's tough and there are days where you struggle to stay up past, you know, 11 or 12 to finish those emails. Those days when you wake up and you think, wow, I am so tired today, I've got nothing in me. How do you navigate those days, especially when you're building up to, like, for example, the release of a bond or the start day of a bond, or when you're really, you know, going up to something that's quite monumental for upfront? Because I've had those days as well, Lauren, and I think what's changed me personally is being a mother. One of those things that's helped me that, look, I just have to get up and just get on with it because I've got a little baby who needs to be fed and needs to be bathed and needs a nappy changing. Whereas a few years ago, I probably would have just stayed in bed. And I think being a mother for me has changed that quite significantly. How do you get over these really, really tough days, Lauren?
Yeah, I do have tough days, and I have days all the time when I cry and I'm tired. And like I said to you when you came on this call, when you said, how are you? I said, I'm tired. You can hear it in my voice. It's like, I'm getting a bit sick. I'm a bit tired because my partner has been ill in bed for a few days. So that meant I was masterclass week last week, which was super intense and brilliant, but intense, and then solo parenting all weekend. I definitely think my son being a bit older changes things. Like, my wee boy's 4 now, so he like goes to the toilet on his own, can make his own snacks. And Mina, like, I'm excited for those days for you because it does make a massive, massive difference when they are not so super dependent on you. And you know, a good example at the weekend, you know, we sat down with Atlas and said, you know, Daddy's really not feeling well. He's going to have to go to bed. And I had to go run some errands. And it was like, so that means we're going to have a calm afternoon. Like, you're going to watch some TV. And this day's going to be at a different pace to what you're used to, because one of us is not well. And he was super on board with that and really chilled out. And that's hard for him because he's super high energy and he's four, you know, he wants to be bouncing off the walls all day, every day. So I think him being a bit older helps a lot. And also I'm getting better at listening to myself on what I need. So yesterday afternoon, I went to bed in the middle of the day and slept for an hour and then set my alarm for 11:45. And then at 12 o'clock, I came online and did a live IGTV interview with somebody. Now I know that that's not for everybody, but I just sleep in a way that means I can wake up and very quickly be back in action. But I knew that I needed to get that sleep because the weekend had been so hard. So I think it's about just trying to be really gentle and kind to yourself. Like my word for 2022 is grace. So I'm really trying to keep thinking to myself, like, how can I give myself grace in this moment, in this day, in this situation, in this hour? And, you know, sometimes that looks like working out in the sun, like I have done this morning. Sometimes it looks like going to bed in the middle of the day. Sometimes it looks like going for a run every morning, a very, very short run.
You didn't have to add that,
Lauren.
I'm
not a runner, but I've started running. Like, Atlas's school is like a 10-minute walk from our house, and now I run him there. You know, we run together, or I push him in his big buggy thing. And even just that, it's like I don't always want to do that, but I know that it'll make me feel better during the day. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of, I think, understanding yourself well. Like, what do you need? Who are the people you need to talk to? What are the songs you need to listen to? What's the food you need to eat? The things you need to do with your body so that you can keep healthy and keep positive and keep well.
I also think, Lauren, just to add to everything that you've just said, it's also the people that you surround yourself with. And I know for yourself, Lauren, your goals and your ambitions are huge, and there's no doubt that you can't achieve them. But I do feel like there's also that support system around you. People are sort of making sure that everything that you need to create those goals and to achieve those goals is ready and set for you. That path is cleared up for you so you can just go ahead. Like, for example, you know, your partner, he'll take care of Atlas when you need to, and then you can work on your business. I feel like in the last couple of years, I found it very difficult to fully understand and fully accept in some way as well that actually my support system is just as important as what I'm doing. Because if the people around me don't understand what I'm trying to achieve, then perhaps they're not the right people for me, especially at this point in my life, I mean. And I know that you've grown up front, you're trying to grow it and expand it as a business. What's it been like for you not to just bring people on board who fully understand what you want? And also, maybe, I don't know if you have done this, but at some point, maybe even letting people out of your life because they're just not right for you at this point.
Yeah, I think I've been thinking a lot about support systems. And if you ask, so I have a kind of mentor, a friend, James Routledge, who is the founder of Sanctus. He recently wrote a book all about mental health. And we have a monthly call, and the last call that I had with him, the result of that call was, you desperately need more support. Like, I don't have a great support network because, well, there's lots of different reasons. For one, we've moved our family to a country where we have no relatives. We have a handful of brilliant friends, but they also have young children and jobs, and, you know, they're not yet friends who will turn up at the door with a lasagna.
Is that your dream, Lauren? Do you want me to show up at your door with a lasagna?
Anybody ever wants to win me over, any sort of baked good, any sort of food. Like, when Atlas was a tiny baby, I used to cry to Chris saying, like, I just want somebody to bring us food. It's just, so I have, you know, support systems have got lots of different shapes to them. It's like, do I have people who love me unconditionally and will listen and be there for me? 100%. Do I have people who have achieved some of the things that I'm trying to achieve, and they're 5-10 years ahead of me and can help me with the very practical problems that I'm trying to figure out? Not really. And that's hard. And that's for a few different reasons. One, it's because I've bootstrapped my company. I've not raised venture capital. You know, we are profitable through bootstrapping, which is like really brilliant. But to be honest, not a sexy story. Like, it means that I don't, you know, I'm not in the shiny VC funded world, which comes with relationships and friendships and introductions and mentors and coaches and support networks. Another reason is, as I said, we live in Sweden. And the other reason is I'm a solo founder. I think a lot of people, their co-founder is a really big part of that support system. And I'm kind of very much in this, like very live in the stage of trying to find phenomenally talented senior people who are going to stretch and challenge me and the organization. And I have some of those people around me, but nowhere near enough. So that's something that I'm kind of actively working on.
What was it that led to the conclusion that you need a better support system? What was that conversation?
Because the problems that I'm facing are like really boring, ordinary problems. Like, my business is not special. It's like any business that grows very quickly is going to have problems around people, problems around process, and problems around product market fit, business development. And I don't really have a whole bunch of people who I can call on to talk through those problems who have solved them. I have people who I could call who would listen and, you know, be like, oh, that sounds hard. But I don't have people who can give me really practical advice yet. But I am building that up. So I've started working with a coach. I've started working with a new mentor. And of course, I've got James and my friend Jen, and there's, you know, other people around. So I'm really building something that I'm actively working on. But it was really helpful for me to have that mirrored back to me from James. It's like, you need different types of support networks. And I guess some of them I've ticked the box and feels good, and some of them are a bit empty. So it's time to think about how to find those people.
So you figured out that you need to bring more people into your network. Did you have to think about letting people out of your life at all in the last few years while building your business?
I've definitely lost friendships, and some of those friendships have been left very in, up in the air and unresolved. And it's hard for me to not start to make up stories about why that happened, of course, because that's what our brains do. And I do think there's something about people, for very valid and real reasons, can find it uncomfortable to have their comfort with the status quo mirrored back to them in such an intense way that happens when you're my friend. Like, that's, I'm sure your friends would say the same thing. And for very valid reasons, sometimes that's just not what that person wants at that time or needs. And that's not something that I can turn off, because it's a fundamental part of my values and my personality and how I see the world. And so I think that's definitely impacted things. But I don't think business-wise there's not been, you know, really specific break, you know, relationships or ties that have broken that I can think of.
I ask this, Lauren, because I know that when you bring people on board with a bond, They're coming from all over the world, from different cultures, from different backgrounds. And one of my biggest revelations in the last couple of years, obviously thanks to yourself as well, thanks to Upfront, is that there are enough people in this world to break your confidence. There are enough people to tell you you're not good enough. There are enough people to tell you that what you're doing is not right. And I think that, especially for me, is that my whole life, Lauren, people have created this algorithm and saying, this is your route to happiness. This is your route to success. You become a doctor, you get married, you have a job, et cetera, et cetera. And that template for me right now is just not working. It really isn't working. And see, the first time I'm talking about it and opening up is that I'm having lots of issues right now trying to figure out what I want to do, because on one end, I know what will make me happy and eventually my family happy. But on the other side, I know that my decisions are going to upset some people. And one of my biggest revelations the last couple of years has been that actually, sometimes you just have to let go. Those people aren't important in your life at this moment, so you shouldn't have to care about their opinion, so you can actually be happy. How do you navigate all these cultural differences and backgrounds in truly understanding how to build someone's confidence? Because for me personally, I feel my cultural background is a big weight on my shoulders. It's a huge weight on my shoulders. And I think if I debulk that slowly throughout time, it will definitely improve my confidence. So how do you go about navigating all of this?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, also a Bond graduate, who was saying, you know, shit, my confidence is getting me in a lot of trouble.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, but in a way that's also very difficult, you know, and she had tears in her eyes because her boss doesn't like it, her husband doesn't like it, her friends are asking questions. And, you know, of course we see extreme examples where people come through our program and they're part of our community and they end up leaving a long-term relationship, they end up completely changing their career, they end up making a big life decision. And my approach to that is to go in a very open and honest way and say, then that's why we talk about changing confidence, not women. It's like, there is a reason some people are not going to like the you that is more confident, because that is fundamentally challenging the status quo from a society level, but also in your house, in your living room, in your kitchen, in your office at work. And I don't shy away from that potentially, you know, this absolutely doesn't happen to everybody, but potentially that might mean relationships changing, hard conversations. You know, we also hear incredible stories the other way, where friends and family are so supportive. I get emails all the time from husbands and sisters and girlfriends saying, I really want to sign my partner up. I want to sign my wife up. I know my sister needs this. But of course, that happens the other way, where that person's growth, fundamentally, your growth will make other people feel uncomfortable. And sometimes that's because your growth reminds them of how little they're growing. Sometimes it's because your growth makes them have regrets or feel guilty or feel sadness, or, you know, it's a very complicated, nuanced thing that, you know, we can't generalize. And, you know, the way we have conversations that are global and as inclusive as possible is to lay all this stuff on the table and say, you know, this course in our community has been built by a white woman. I am white, I am straight, I use the pronoun she, her. And I just, before I got on this call, I was writing a piece of text for the non-binary people who are interested in joining our community to say, I welcome you with open arms and I feel very confident that you will be welcomed, you will feel supported, and you will feel growth and warmth, and you will make new friends and amazing things will happen. But I can't guarantee that you're going to see yourself in every aspect of our community and our content. I can't guarantee that for anybody, especially Black and brown women, Asian women, women from an ethnic minority background. And right now, you know, I'm working with a phenomenal anti-racism coach, Casey Robinson, who's helping me think about what that looks like for now and what the next iteration of our community and our product looks like. Because we will never say, we can never be all things to all people. You can't. But you can, it's a bit like really, really brilliant school teachers will have one curriculum and they will give one lesson, and that lesson will work for people who are super smart and advanced, people who are kind of average in the middle, people who are struggling. And all the people in their classroom from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, that curriculum will work for all of them. Now, will it tick every single box for every single person? No. But they will get the learning and they will get the growth. And that's how I see what we're building here. And it's, you know, it's not a static thing. It's why we have coaches. It's why we have live sessions. You know, you'll know yourself when you took part in Bond 5, there is space to have those dialogues. There's space to have one-to-one conversations with people in the team, with other people in the community. And of course, I feel like every day there is new resources being created by incredible people in the world. You know, you're a really good example. It's like this podcast will speak to people from your background in a way that my podcast won't. And that's, you know, that's okay, because we need both. And when you and I work together and bring our voices together, that makes it even more powerful.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I don't think anybody does. You know, I think this...
I don't either, Lauren. I don't have the answers for my own, you know, my own issues and my own background and my own cultural barriers, to be honest. And I think that especially with our generation, we are the most different generation to any other generation behind us. And I think that's the biggest challenge that I'm facing, is that, I mean, Lauren, I can't believe that I only realized this just a few weeks ago, that I am the first working mother in my whole family. No other mother in my family on my mom's side or my dad's side has ever worked. So I've just started working recently, the last couple of weeks, doing a bit more work than I usually do. And I'm finding it really, really hard. Because a part of me is, I can hear my mother in my head saying, kitchen should be clean, the baby should be having fresh food for every meal. But I come back from work, Lauren, at 6 p.m. and I'm completely knackered. Like I just don't have the energy for that. And sometimes I'll get a frozen meal out and there's this big guilt, you know, inside me. So I'm trying to figure it out. And I mean, I don't know even if Radhika will figure it out. You know, it might take generations to really break all of this. I call it toxic thinking, because it's not right. It's going to take a long time. But I do think what you're doing now is a great start. And I do want to say as well, on the record, that one of the greatest things about the Bond was that after we had the sessions on the Monday morning or Tuesday morning, there were these breakout rooms and I could speak to people about how I was feeling. And even though they weren't in my shoes, they were there to listen. And that for me was just incredible. Like it was just cleansing me. And if anyone is listening now and really feels like you need that, then please, please join up front. Don't worry, I'll put all the links in the episode description.
Would love to welcome anybody who's listening, anybody who's curious and is thinking about it. And I think, I was having this conversation with a psychiatrist friend of mine who was saying, you know, me and my partner are from working class backgrounds, him even more so. And we have built a life already, like, very, you know, our son's only 4, we have already built a life that is so vastly different to the life that either of us had. And she used the language of, we're writing a new story. That's making me, it's a thing, like,
yeah.
And it's, as much as it's amazing and people might look and be like, oh, that's so inspiring, it's also really, really hard. Because you don't have role models, you don't have examples, you don't have precedents, you don't have... Yeah, it can feel... I, I find it can feel quite isolating at times. And I think, you know, we hear this language around like breaking the cycle. And I think that's what you're doing. Like, I don't have that voice of the kitchen should be clean, but I have other voice. I have a voice from my mum saying, you know, well, this is great. Do you need any more? Like, why? Are you done now?
She doesn't know her daughter.
Exactly. And it's, I know just from the relationship we have and how I know you, and that you've already, like, Radhika will not have that voice. Like, you've already, even though you're still grappling with it, you have decided, like, this is not a voice that I am listening to. Like, I fundamentally do not believe that the cleanliness of my kitchen is important, nor does it affect my child's well-being or our relationship or any of those things that matter to me. And that, you know, it might sound like a small thing, but that's a really big deal. That, especially as you shared, you're the first woman in your family to ever work and be a mother at the same time. Like, that's huge. And you're writing a new story.
I wanted to touch upon something you mentioned earlier about your ego when you're making these business decisions. And over the last couple of years, and I think I messaged you either after the bond, the course, or before, I can't remember, but there was something that come my way, and it could have, on paper, it looked great. It looked really good in terms of being my, you know, my age, my skin color, my background to do this specific thing. And it looked great on paper. And then after I thought about it for a while, I thought, actually, this might be too much for me at this point in my life. And I'm very lucky that I have Nishant, my husband, who really grounds me and adds that perspective. Because if it was anybody else, then they would have just said, yeah, do it. And I think this is another thing as well, Lauren, is who you take your advice from is so, so incredibly important. And this is why it goes back to our support network and who you have around you and who you can trust. But I had a long chat with Nishant. We were going back and forth for about a month or two, just trying to figure out what to do with this offer that come right in my hands. And eventually I decided to say no to that. I know that if I'd said yes to that, Lauren, a majority of that decision would have been my ego. And it took time to accept that. And there's one thing that someone told me when I was in medical school, and they said, swallow your pride. It's not poison. And that was going through my head all the time. I just had to swallow it and say, this is not the right time. Radhika was very young. I was just coming out of the phase of my postpartum depression period. And I was trying to readjust to this new life. It wasn't the right time. I don't know if this opportunity will ever come back to me. I don't know. But if it does, then maybe we can think about it again. How have you managed to, again, there'll never be a balance, but I'm sure you have lots of things coming your way. You want to do everything to make up from the biggest thing in the world. How do you not let your ego come in the way of that? What systems do you have in place?
Gosh, I'm sure I do let my ego get in the way. I don't think I have a system yet. I think the biggest thing was it had to get out the way for me to get here. I think that's been the kind of the most recent insight, is that the thing that was stopping me from fully embracing this incredible opportunity was, in fact, my ego. There's probably something around, you know, I keep getting asked weekly basis, why are you not raising venture capital money? Like, we could raise money on paper. We are very attractive. And when my ego takes over, I'm like, you know, I want to be one of that 2% in Forbes magazine, Lauren Curry raises 10 million, blah, 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 whatever. Of course I want that to happen. But is that the best thing for me? Is it the best thing for the business? Probably not. Not right now, anyway. And I guess my system, it feels grand to call it a system, is to just try and be self-aware, to try and notice, like, what am I motivated by here? What's driving this? And then listening to you know, the people like James and Jen and Najla and the people I have round about me who can help me ask myself uncomfortable questions around, well, does that really link with your values? What would that look, what would that have a negative impact on our community? Would that, what would that mean for your working hours and the time you have with Atlas, if, you know, for example. So that's probably a very present situation that keeps cropping up, that feels where my ego definitely appears, you know, in a red suit with an attitude.
Well, it's nice. It's nice to know the person behind that red suit, Lauren. And I think that's really important that, you know, we, as we've spoken about this before, that social media has created this life, like pseudo life for all of us. It's like we're living like, what's that Disney character's name? Hannah Montana. I really just do feel like that's what we're all like right now. We're all like a rock star on Instagram. And then behind that, I'm like scrubbing the floors of the kitchen. I think a lot of us live that life. What's it been like for you moving to Sweden, especially, Lauren? Because when I spoke to you, I think you just moved and it was winter time and you showed me your windows. It was like 2 p.m. It was completely pitch black. And I was quite shocked by that. Like, how are you surviving? But I know being away from family is tough, because having that childcare, having that help around you makes a huge difference. But there are trade-offs, right? Like, you've come to Sweden for a reason. And we spoke a little bit last time about how England just wasn't the right place for your family, because politically things weren't going the right way. You know, raising a family didn't feel like the right place for you. How are you feeling now, a year on? Do you feel that you know, that pride and in your conviction in that decision that you made?
Yeah, I definitely feel proud, and there's still a lot of pinch me moments, I think, which of course feel really lovely. And I think part of that is, you know, as the world started to feel a bit safer, we've had like my parents come visit, and last week one of my best friends from Scotland came to visit, and to kind of have them mirror back to me like, holy shit, this is your day to day, this is wild. It's, you know, and especially now that that summer's coming, you know, Sweden is very like, what's it somebody said to me? Like, it's a country of two countries. I can't remember. Something like that. It's a very different country in winter than it is summer. And winter was absolutely hard. I think the first one, we landed in October, so it was all like new and exciting. The second one, I mean, November is awful. There's like no sunlight, no, very little daylight. But because we knew it was coming, we went to Tenerife for Christmas time. And I remember when we landed there, like I got tears, and like I felt a big like, because I was just, hadn't realised how much, I felt like I'd been in a cave for months. Yeah. And then, you know, suddenly it's like somebody puts the lights on. It's like sunlight and blue sky and, yeah, so I think it's about kind of designing your routines around it. And, you know, the Swedish way is very like bunker down over winter, coziness, lots of exercise, lots of work, and then they're off all summer. You know, most Swedes get 8 weeks off work fully paid. So I didn't
get 8 weeks maternity pay.
I keep saying to Chris, like, damn it, if only one of us had, one of us were employed, we would get all these benefits. But of course we get a degree removed benefit of being around people, being in a community where work is just not the priority. It's like they're planning trips, they're swimming in the lake. You know, my wee boy's already fluent in Swedish, you know, and that blows my mind a bit. It's like he's not even had to try. He's just showed up. And
you're a little girl from Glasgow and you've created this life for yourself. That's incredible.
No, it is a bit nuts. And I think most people who move here come for a job, because we've got amazing, you know, we've got Spotify and Klarna and Pleo and Electrolux. Like, there's all these awesome big Swedish brands. So people will come with an employer. The employer does all the relocation package, gets you in the Swedish system. you know, you make friends because you're joining a new team and you're in an office. Like, we had none of that. Like, none. People would be like, what's your relocation package? I'm like, you're looking at it? Like, there isn't one.
Lauren, I know you spend a lot of time telling women how great they are and building their confidence, but I just want to take this moment to just say, like, well done. Like, the life that you've built for yourself, and I'm sure it must have been a very scary decision at that time, and creating your own template for your own life must have been incredibly scary. But the fact that you had that trust in yourself and your partner and your child, and it's also having some faith in your child as well, right? Saying, like, he'll get through it, he'll be able to cope. And the fact that he's already almost fluent in Swedish is just incredible, Lauren. So just wanted to say, like, well done. It's not easy to make these decisions, especially when you're wearing lots of different hats. You're a businesswoman, you're a mother, you're a partner, you want to build your family. And it's really, really hard. So yeah, you should be very proud.
Oh, thank you. I'm working hard to internalize my achievements. It's very it's hard.
Yeah.
I love Nat Lou, I forget the name of her website now, but she's written books and has got a brilliant website and Instagram page, and she talks a lot about self-worth and value and boundaries, and her and I had a conversation about, like, why is it so hard to internalize your achievements? Like, why is it so hard to accept, like, truly sit with the brilliant things that you've done?
I think a lot of women can appreciate what we're coming through, that we're all trying to create that new life for us. And sometimes in that pace, we forget to take a moment to breathe and just remember how far we've come. And I mean, like, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to say any of this to you because I was a different person. But now I can actually sit here and truly understand and empathize with everything that you've been through, because I've taken those big decisions myself as well. Lauren, this conversation has been, like, really therapeutic. And I say this because I've had the most difficult 2 weeks going back to work, dealing with Radhika. And I've actually figured out today that I'm not alone in all of this. And it's actually, like, really warmed my heart. So thank you, Lauren. Thank you for being so honest. And just thank you for sharing your own mistakes, really, because that's how we all learn.
How do you feel about the decision that you said no to now?
Very happy with it. Very happy with it, Lauren. I think if I'd done that, it would have caused a great amount of distress to me and my family. I also don't think I would have done the job in the right way at all. I would have had to either pretend like I knew what I was doing, or, you know, I would have got caught out because it just wasn't the right thing for me. So the people who offered me the job probably did think she was the right person, because obviously they've seen what I've done, which is fair enough. But there's a part of me, Lauren, that you look at any job that you do, Lauren, even being a mother, right? Being a mother can be easy. If you just sit and put your kid in front of the TV all day, like, it can be. Being a doctor can be really easy if you just, you know, get through the bare basics. But if you truly want to do well at your job, like you're doing with Upfront, and you really want to give it your 100%, it's hard. And this is why when I finish a day's work and Nishan says, was it a difficult day? I say, if it wasn't difficult, I wouldn't be doing my job properly. And I take pride in that. Like, I work hard because I want the best outcome that I can give at that time. And I knew I wouldn't have been able to do that with that job. So I think about it a lot, Lauren, but it doesn't haunt me like it used to. I've learned to accept it now.
You did that.
Well, Lauren, you were the first person I messaged when I made that decision. So you played a big role in that. So Lauren, just before we go, I just want to quickly touch upon Upfront again. And I know that you've just launched, or you've opened tickets for the next bond starting in June. So just quickly tell us a little bit about what people can get from this course and how they can sign up.
Yes. And also, I'm going to give you a code so that anybody listening to your podcast can use a special Meenal podcast code to get a discount. So the Bond is our 6-week online course in all things confidence, power, public speaking and visibility. We have had 1,200 graduates from over 50 countries. And we just really know that it works. You will have a completely different relationship with your own confidence, with the confidence of the people around you, particularly the women and non-binary people around you. You will show up at work differently. You will be more productive. You will communicate more clearly. You will do things that right now they feel scary. Those things will become ordinary. And it's everything from asking for more money at work to the message I got yesterday where a bonder showed up at her holiday where she'd paid extra for a sea view. And there was not a sea view. There was a car park wall. And she said to me, 6 months ago, I would never have even mentioned it. I wouldn't have asked for money back and we would have had our 2 weeks in front of the car park wall. She said, I put my upfront pants on, went down to reception, and now they've got their sea view. And I'm like, yes, because it's not all, yes, it's about more money, more progress, more positive change in the world. It's also about more joy. Somebody sent me a message yesterday saying, I've signed up for a course in quilting. And she said, I've wanted to do it my whole life, but up until up front, I didn't have the confidence to do things just for me because I just want to do them. Not because it's going to be good on my CV, not because it's going to help my kids or my relationship or make my house prettier. I just want to do them. And I was like, yes, it's like confidence to put yourself first. So it's 6 weeks. We need 3 hours a week of your time and it's totally self-led so that those 3 hours can happen whenever you want them to happen. The videos are pre-recorded. We have a weekly live session, which if you can show up is awesome. If you can't, it's recorded. So that's okay. And then we have our online community. And you can, if you go to weareupfront.com, you can visit the Bond 6 website. You can use the code that Meenal will put in her show notes. And me and all the Bond alumni, folks like Meenal who have been through the programme, are always online on Instagram where you can talk to us if you have questions, if you want to find out if it's right for you. We would really love to welcome you.
And Lauren, I also just wanted to add that you have a special offer for those on maternity leave as well. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's free if you're on maternity leave. And if you live in a house with no income coming into that house at all, it's also free. And for those of you who are sitting on the fence about buying a ticket, if you buy the ticket, then that funds the free mat leave place. So it's very much, even just buying a ticket, you're helping another woman. You're helping someone where money might be a barrier to access this program.
Amazing. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you so much for this. I can't wait to put this out and share everything that we've spoken about. Thank you for your time and all the best with everything, with the bond that's coming up.
Of course. Thank you. It's been really lovely. I always love chatting with you.
And thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in again this week. And a big thank you to Lauren for being so vulnerable and opening up. It was quite therapeutic for me to listen to Lauren, but also share my own little snippets of my journey as well. Now, I've left all the show notes to sign up to Lauren's course in the show notes below. And I've also left a link to listen to Lauren's own podcast called Upfront with Lauren Curry. And it's all about finding that confidence within you. So please do support Lauren's work as well. I'll see you all again next Friday with another guest. And until then, I hope you're healthy. I hope you stay safe and sending you lots and lots of love. Thank you all for supporting the show.